Good evening on this Wednesday evening. We are so glad to be here at Liberty once again. And our heart truly rejoices tonight to know that you are settling in to Liberty Live and that we are able to gather together via the internet, Facebook, and worship Him tonight. And so we are so thankful that you are here with us. And we want to encourage you right this very moment to share this Liberty Live broadcast on your Facebook page so your friends may join in and watch. Remember, we're still on mission for the Lord here at Liberty. We're trying to reach as many people as we can in as many ways as we can. We just want to take Jesus to a world that so needs Jesus. And so share this, call a neighbor, call a friend, do whatever you need to do right this moment and get gathered around that TV, if you're using a smart TV, that computer, the cell phone, whichever means you may be using tonight to view us and join us. That is the key word there. We don't want you just to spectate tonight, but we want you to join us in worship as we worship Him in prayer and then in His Word. So tonight, let's go to Him in prayer as we open up our service, just acknowledging that we can't do anything apart from Him. Unless He gives us the grace to do it. Let's pray tonight. Our Father in heaven, we love You, we thank You, and Lord, we bless Your holy name. Father, thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for desiring us, Father, when we at so many times are so undesirable and unlovable. God, Your love transcends our love in so many ways. Thank You for each of our members that are watching this morning or this evening. Thank You for each visitor. Thank You for each family member. Well, we thank You for all of those who love You and love Liberty and who are watching us now through the internet. And Father, we're just excited about what You're doing. Father, the things we have heard in our own ears, the things we have saw with our own eyes. Father, we just want to praise You, Lord, for all You're doing, God, among us. Father, we're going to go ahead and rejoice this day for the day when we can all gather together under this one roof. We know that day's coming. And Father, we thank You for it in anticipation. Lord, our hearts rejoice that, God, we can come together again with Your wonderful people. So, Father, we just want to ask You, Lord, that You'd meet with us tonight, meet the needs of those that are watching. And Father, I do pray again for those all of those on the front line of this battle against COVID-19, that, God, You'd keep them safe. That You would guard them and protect them. Father, I pray for those in the nursing homes and the rest homes. And Father, I pray that, Lord, that You would just touch and bring healing, God, to this nation, bring healing to our community. Father, I'm praying for a hedge of protection around each of us as we go day to day and as we live for You. Father, we pray tonight You'd forgive us of our sins. For, Lord, we realize we're this sinful man who's been saved by Your grace. Father, we thank You for that grace. We thank You for Jesus who died, rose again, lives in victory today. And Father, we claim the precious blood and resurrection power upon our own life. And now, God, have Your way here tonight. Speak to us that we may speak, Father, to those in need this very hour. And we'll give You glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do want to mention two things before we turn in our text tonight. I do want to mention that don't forget, if you're interested in tithing online, many of you have called or sent text asking about giving to Liberty. You can do that online. You can go to our Facebook page. You'll find, if you'll scroll down, you'll find some information there about how to give online, or go to our website and you'll find the information there. But if you're interested in giving to the cause of Liberty, which our cause is not ours at all, it's the cause of Christ, just to carry out the Great Commission to those hurting, helpless, hopeless, and most of all those that are lost. But you believe in that mission and you want to give to it, you can go online or on our Facebook page and find out how to do that. Now, let me mention again that when we do set a date, and I'll mention just in case you're tuning in for the first time, but I will mention that I promise you, because my heart wants to have everybody under this one roof in together in worship, and I promise you that as soon as we can and as safe as we can, we are going to start meeting on this campus once again on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights. I believe that day's coming. coming soon. We're just kind of waiting to see what the next week holds since everything is opening up. But we've explained this the last several services. But on the Sunday, the first Sunday we come back, whatever that date is, we will announce that. We will publicize it on Facebook and on our Facebook and on our website. So you will be very well aware and be able to be prayed up when we come back. But on that first Sunday back, I feel like the Lord has laid it on my heart for us to let's give a sacrificial offering on that Sunday. This will be in addition to our regular offering. I just feel like God's been so good to us through this COVID-19 crisis that we need to honor Him with just a gift from our heart. And so you just pray about what the Lord would have you to bring. And again, I know this has been a time for many of economic hardship. I realize that. And so that's why you just pray and see what God would have you to give. But here's what we're going to do with that offering. We're going to take that offering, and we in the week after that, we are going to give away every penny of the money that is laid upon this altar. We're going to give it away to various ministries, to various needs that we know of, to missionaries, both home and foreign. And we are just going to take this offering. We're going to honor God with it. And we're going to take every dime and penny of it and turn around and give it all away for the glory of the Lord. So we're praying right now God will use that to help us reach some people. But that'll be a sacrificial offering on that Sunday, that first Sunday that we come back. So we're excited about that. We're excited about that day when we're able to set a date. If you will, turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Now, as you're turning there, you can take the Bible you hold in your hand, the book, take your phone, your cell phone, your Bible app, your computer, or whatever way, your iPad, whatever way you are looking at Scriptures, just turn there to Luke chapter 22. Now, I realize that I preached this probably back in 2018, no message as God lets you use it more than once in different places. No message is ever the same. But you can go back in 2018 in our archives on our website and you may hear a little different version of this message tonight. I kind of want this to be a devotional of sorts. Sometimes the way the Lord speaks to us about what to bring is as we seek Him as preachers, we pray and we seek Him and He starts to deal with us on a text. And more than once this week, this text has come to my mind, has come to my heart, it's been brought before my eyes. And so I know that we are where God needs us to be tonight. But look in Luke 22, if you will, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31, and I just want you to think about this thought, shaken, shaken. Luke 22, verse 31 says this, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Let me read that just one more time. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now, let me say a few words here about this text and about what's going on. Do you remember Simon, Peter, you remember his nature, you remember his character. Remember he was very brash, he was always the first to speak up and open his mouth, which is certainly not always an admirable quality. But oftentimes when he first was the first one to say something and open his mouth, he was always sticking his foot in his mouth. And so that would be the case here. And so But look at what Jesus has said here, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the circumstance. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, he uses that name twice. We'll come back to that. Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. That particular word you there is plural, which means that Jesus, as he said at that Lord's table that night, that Last Supper, it means that Jesus was speaking, not he was speaking to Simon, but when he said Satan has desired to have you, he was speaking to the whole of all of the disciples. Now that's just a reminder for the church of Jesus today and for every blood-bought, born-again believer that Satan desires to have you. Yes, you may be a child of the King. You may be locked in His grace. You may be secure in your salvation in Jesus Christ. I understand that, but that doesn't change the desires of Satan. He still desires to have you. Now, he'll never have your soul because we believe that when God saves a man, He saves a man once and for all, and that you're saved for all of eternity. So yes, Satan can't have the spiritual man of you, but he could still take your life and take over your life and control your life if you yield your life to him. But so this is a warning to the church that Satan still desires to have you. It would be the will of Satan for every believer in Jesus Christ to fail, to fall, and to turn away from the Lord and start following him, Satan, and his path. It would be the will of Satan for every church door in our community to close and to close for good and to never open again. It would be the will of Satan for this nation in which we live, which was a nation that was founded under God and upon the principles of God's Word. It would be his desire for our nation to fall. And to move away, which we are doing rapidly, away from the fundamental Christian values and principles that founded this nation many years ago. And so Satan desires to have all of you, the Lord says. And he says this to Peter. He gets specific here and he says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you. And now he's speaking singular to Peter when he says you that second time. And Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. Now just very quickly, I'm not going to get into this. I'm sure there's a whole sermon on this, and that's not my intent for you Bible scholars that are watching tonight. But very quickly, there was two processes of working that wheat once that wheat had been threshed, if you will. There was the winnowing process, which is that process with a winnowing fork or a winnowing fan. It's not been that long ago when one of our senior members in this church showed me a winnowing fork or winnowing fan that he used as a little boy on his grandpa's farm to winnow wheat. And the purpose of that is they put that wheat in that big fork, almost like a large rake, and they would throw it up in the air. And as they would throw it up in the air, these winnowing floors were often on hilltops where a wind gently blew all the time. And they would throw that in the air, and the heavier wheat would fall back down to the ground. And that chaff, which was not wheat, which was the part that was useless and no good, it would be blown away. And so there, that winnowing process was that gentle tossing in the air. The wind would blow by, carry away that was bad, and leave only the good. I think about the times in our lives when when the Lord uses His Spirit to do that, how that we're shaken a little bit, but God uses His sweet, gentle Spirit to take out of our lives the worthless and less meaningful things that make us up, and He leaves behind only the heavier, weightier stuff, which is the good stuff, the stuff that is of the new man in us. But the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you. That sifting process, it was a more violent process, if you will. It's where that wheat was placed inside of a sifter, and that sifter was violently shaken. and tossed around, and it was to get out all of the junk from that wheat, the rocks and the sticks and the stones and so forth. But it was a more violent process. And so the Lord says, Simon, listen, I want to tell you something. You need to listen to me, and I want you to listen good. And he calls him by name twice. And you need to listen good. Satan has desired to sift you. He has desired to put his hands on you in your life, and he has desired to shake you and to shake you to the very core. Now, I say that to not say this. Maybe there's somebody who's watching, and that is you. You are trying to live your life for Jesus the best you know how, and you've got a heart for Jesus, but at the same time, you're going through this sifting process. Satan has desired to touch you, and you feel like every part of your life has been shaken to the very core. And the Lord tells Peter this. He says, Satan has desired to have you, to sift you as wheat. And look what he says. Then he says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. And so, listen, there's no greater person that can pray for you than the Lord himself. In fact, we know that's his present ministry today. The story of Jesus didn't stop on a cross. Let me back up. The story of Jesus didn't stop at a manger, nor did it end on a cross, and nor did it stop on Resurrection Sunday. The story of Jesus continues on this day because he ascended into heaven. He sat down on the right hand of God on high, where he currently carries on his present intercessory ministry on my behalf and on your behalf, because he is our great high priest. And so he wanted Peter to know, Peter, I see the future, Peter, and here's what's going to happen. Satan has desired to have you. He's going to shake you to the very core. Everything that you were once sure of, you're not even going to be sure of anymore. You're going to feel like you have lost it all. But Peter, hang on. I have prayed for you. Man, listen, there's nothing greater than to have Jesus himself praying for you. And so there is that individual watching tonight, and you're watching, and you feel like your life is in a place where everything that you were sure of is now being shaken. You had life planned out. And boy, listen, if you ever want to make the Lord chuckle, I have found out, just tell him you've got life planned out. Tell him that you got it all figured out, that you're going to graduate high school, you're going to go to college and get a four-year degree doing this or doing that, you're going to get a good job, you're going to meet the perfect spouse, you're going to live in a little house with a white picket fence, you're going to have a dog named Fido and a cat named Tom, I guess, and all of these things. Let the Lord know that you've got plans and that you have everything laid out. And watch what happens to life. But the Lord knew this about Peter, and he said, Peter, I've prayed for you. I know your life's going to be shaken, but I want you to know I have prayed for you. Somebody watching tonight, you need to give God glory and thanks, and you need to acknowledge him right this very moment, because even though your life may be shaken at every turn and every corner and everything that you're sure of, then you ought to thank him because he has been praying for you. See, I may not know what's going on in your life. There's no way possible I could know how that you have been shaken to the very core. But Jesus knows, and he's prayed. And here's what he said. And he said, Simon, I've prayed for you. And here's what he prayed. He said, I have prayed that your faith fails not. Now notice what he said. Maybe I should say, notice what he did not say. He did not say, Peter, I have prayed that you don't fail. I've prayed that you don't mess up. I've prayed that you don't screw this up during this time of shaking. I've prayed that you don't drop the ball, Peter. No, the Lord didn't say that. The Lord said, I have prayed that your faith does not fail. You know why the Lord told Peter, I have prayed that your faith does not fail? Instead of saying, Peter, I prayed that you don't fail. Because the Lord knew that Peter would fail. He knew that. And indeed, Peter did. In fact, let me back up. Let's take you to in this very setting right here. This very setting right here, they're in the upper room. This is the Last Supper, so to speak, as it's been traditionally called. And the Lord, He has set out the Lord's table and instituting that Lord's Supper at this Last Supper. And do you remember what happens there? They're all sitting around, they're all drinking and partaking of that bread that the Lord has served. And then the Lord says this. Now imagine, put yourself at that table. You're one of 12 hand-picked disciples that Jesus himself picked. Man, listen, it's exciting to be called by Jesus and saved by his grace in the day in which we live. But can you imagine being on your job one day some 2,000 years ago and Jesus himself walked by and called you to follow him? I mean, 12 hand-picked men sitting around a table together that Jesus has called. They're all sitting there together. Keep in mind, this is the Thursday night before the Friday, late Thursday night, early Friday morning arrest of Jesus in the garden, his crucifixion. These disciples, they have not only been called by Christ and walked with Christ, they've sat under his preaching. They've sat under his miracles. They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him still the storms. They've seen him cure leprosy. They have seen him raise the dead. They have seen him heal the blind. They have seen him heal the deaf. They have seen him cast out demons. Man, they have been there. And not only that, but he sent them out on two different whirlwind preaching tours. And the Bible says this, that he gave them, all 12 of them, he gave them power over unclean spirits and the ability to cast out demons. And so they've got to do it themselves. These same 12 men are sitting around the table. And here's what Jesus says. They're having a good time. Maybe they're talking about a fishing trip. Maybe they're talking about the weather. I don't know. But all of a sudden, Jesus says, oh, by the way, one of you sitting here is going to betray me. Yeah. Boy, how that would sober the mood of a festive occasion. One of you is going to betray me. And I want you to notice that I think it's Matthew, as he records this, what happens next. See, the disciples, they know themselves. And you and I should know ourselves. But the problem is oftentimes we do know ourselves, but we see we have this church persona that we put on, and then we have the real us. And so the disciples, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, I've chose 12, but one of you is the devil. And notice that they did not all start jumping up and say, nope, not me, not me, not me. No, but the Bible says that they all begin to ask, Lord, is it I? Like it's a possibility that it could be me. And then the Lord comes to Peter here, and you know, Peter's made these boasts about never turning from the Lord or forsaking the Lord. But sure enough, after this event we read right here and Jesus is arrested, what he does is he runs off and as he's cornered and confronted about being a disciple of Jesus, after our Lord is arrested, Peter, not once, not twice, but three times, says, I don't know that man. I don't know who that is. I've never seen them, never met them. You've got me confused with somebody else. And one of the times he even does it with cursings and railings. Somebody said that one of the greatest wrongs a man could do is have great moral failure. Well, moral failure is, it's just wrong. But to deny his relationship with the Lord, well, that's downright wicked to deny his relationship with the Lord. Some of you fellas, you try this next time you're at Walmart with your wife and one of your old high school girlfriends comes up and you hadn't seen in 35 years and starts talking to you, and she wants to know who the woman is beside you, just look straight at that old girlfriend and say, "I don't know who this lady is. Let me know how that goes. Just call and tell me what hospital room you're in, and I'll make my hospital visit to that room." But to deny the relationship, that's downright wicked. And that's what Peter did. And so what I'm getting at is this. Now watch, there's this, Peter has been warned of the Lord. The Lord says, "Peter, it's about to get bad on you. In fact, you're going to be shaken, and you're going to be shaken to the very core. And Peter, everything that's in you is not good. Peter, you're a converted man, a new man, called by me, chosen by me, but you're living in that old body. And so, Peter, there's going to be times in your life when you're going to act all flesh. There's going to be times in your life when you're going to be full of the Spirit. There's going to be times in your life when you are part flesh and part spirit." And that's very lived out in the life of Peter. If you study the life of Peter, see, there's three or four times where the list of all of the disciples are listed, all 12 of them. And Peter's always at the top of the list. And as the disciples are mentioned by groups at various times, whoever's mentioned first is the leader of that group. And so Peter is the leader of his group, and his group is himself, Peter, James, John, and Andrew. And Peter is the head of that group. In fact, it was Peter, James, and John who were the inner core of disciples with Jesus. They got to go with Jesus and experience things that many others of the disciples did not get to do. They were able to go up on the Mount of Transfiguration and see for a little while the glory that was locked up inside the flesh of Jesus in his earthly body. They got to see it as it leaked out and he was transfigured before them. So they got to see things other people didn't. But Peter's mentioned a couple different ways in Scripture. So there's Simon, there's Peter that the Lord named him, and then he's called Simon Peter. To begin with, he is named, and just bear with me as we close on this, to begin with, he's named Simon. Now this Simon, he's referred to as Simon, let me say to begin with, in the secular sense, he's referred to as Simon. So the Bible talks about, in other words, just the life of Simon, the things in his life. For example, the Bible talks about Simon's house. That was his something to do with who he was physically as a person. The Bible talks about his mother-in-law and says that it's Simon's wife's mother. His fishing business, he had one of the boats. One of the boats was his, or the ships was his, so it's known as Simon's boat or Simon's ship. So the secular things or the earthly things of Simon, they were called by that name Simon. So this is not referring to his character or his spirituality, but it's just the natural things of Simon. Now there is Peter. He's called Peter as well. Remember, the Lord gave him that name. And the Lord said, "Listen, I'm going to call you this name Peter," or as the Bible says in the Aramaic, Cephas, which in the Greek means rock. And so what the Lord was saying is this: Simon, I have called you to follow me. You're no longer the old man, but you're a new man. And so this is the name that you should be called, or that you ought to be called, when you're following me and giving me your best. I think about Tommy Lasorda and the L.A. Dodgers. There's some Dodger fans watching tonight. At one point, as he was managing the team, coaching the team, he got a very shy and timid pitcher that the team had taken on board. And he knew this pitcher had potential, and he knew that he was full of strength and full of power, but he was shy and he was timid. And so Tommy intentionally gave him the nickname Bulldog. And he wanted that young, shy, timid preacher to know that every time he got on that mound, that he had a name to live up to, and that was Bulldog. That was Oral Hershiser, Oral Bulldog Hershiser, and he became one of the greatest pitchers maybe of all time. And that's the way the Lord was with Simon. He named him Peter. He said, Simon, here's who you should be, and here's who you could be, and here's who you ought to be. I've given you a new name. Now live up to the high call I've placed on your life. Well, so there's that name Simon that refers to Peter in the secular sense. There's also the times when he was called Simon in the sense of when he was sinning, when he was displaying characteristics of the flesh and he's sinning in word, attitude, or even action. A prime example of this is in Luke 5, where the disciples been out fishing all night and they caught no fish. And they come back to the seashore and Jesus is teaching and he gets in one of Simon's boats and they push out a little way from the seashore and he teaches some more. And then he turns to Simon and said, Simon, cast us out into the deep. He said, Simon, cast us out into the deep because I'm going to show you which side of the boat to fish off of. And the Bible says that Simon said this, but we fished all night and we've not caught anything. See, that was the sinning Simon. He was acting in the flesh. He was disgusted. He was frustrated. The Lord was now asking him to take a step of faith. But yet in his flesh, he says, we've already fished all night. We've not caught a thing. And so he's called Simon there. Of course, you know the story. They throw off the way Jesus says to cast, and they catch so many that the nets break. And then the Bible says this, that Simon Peter fell on his knees, and he worshiped the Lord because he saw the miracle that the Lord had worked. He was called both. Simon and Peter. And so there's Simon, there's times when he's called Simon as the Bible is speaking of him in the secular sense or in the sinful sense when he's acting in the flesh. There's Peter when he's living up to the name that Jesus gave him. And then there's this combination of flesh and spirit where he's called Simon Peter. In fact, I believe as I studied this and studied this out, I think I found maybe 15 times where John calls him Simon Peter. You want to know why? Because as one of his closest friends, John saw who Simon really was. He saw him as a man who lived up to that call on his life, as a man who really loved the Lord. And who was a man who was mindful every day of who he could be and who he should be because of the name that the Lord gave him, a rock, Simon, or Peter, Cephas in the Aramaic. But because he was his closest friend, he also saw the fleshly side of him. And he knew who he really was. And some of you right now, you've got dear friends like that that you know. You've seen their heart. You know they have a heart for Jesus. You know they want to serve Him and love Him. You know God's put a high call on their life. You know they're different than other believers around them. You know that their heart longs after a relationship with the Lord and that daily they seek that relationship out. You know that part of them. But you also know that side of them, well, it's very flesh. And so you look at them and you see exactly what John saw when he looked at Simon. You see a Simon Peter. You see that saved man that's born again, washed in the blood, got a heart for Jesus, but at the same time, he's full of flesh. And in fact, some of you right now, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Because as we look at Simon Peter tonight, you're like me. You're looking at Simon Peter and you're thinking, he's just like me. And so you know that this picture of Simon Peter is very much a picture of you. That yes, I'm born again. Yes, I'm saved by grace. Yes, I have a heart for God. Yes, I love Him. Yes, I want to serve Him. Yes, I don't want my life any other way. I don't want to go back to my old way of living. I don't want to go back to my days before Christ came into my heart and my life. I want to live for Him and honor Him in all that I do. But there's some times and some days and, well, some days, many times in that day when, well, the flesh just wins out. That's the days that the Lord would not call me the rock, but the Lord would call me Simon. There must have come a time in Simon Peter's life when every time the Lord said Simon, he began to cringe and he didn't know what to do. My dad, as a kid, he would always, a lot of the time, much of the time, he'd call me Buck. That was a name that I picked up somewhere because I loved to deer hunt. From the time I was big enough to carry a gun, I was in the woods deer hunting, but he called me Buck. Much of the other times he would call me son, but if he ever called me by my name, David, I cringed because I knew I was in trouble and I'd probably put my foot in my mouth and acted headlong and brash just like Simon Peter had done. There must have been a time in his life when he must have just cringed every time the Lord said, Simon. And right here, the Lord says, Simon, Simon, two times. And what he wants Peter to know is this, is Peter, you're not going to live up to the name that I give you, what you could be and what you should be, but the Satan is going to so shake your life down to its very foundation to where the flesh in you is going to come out and going to win over. It's going to win over. And you're going to give in to it. And sure enough, Simon Peter did that. And Simon must have cringed, and maybe in his spirit he thought, Lord, don't call me that. Don't call me Simon anymore. You named me Peter, now call me Peter. And maybe the Lord would have said to him, had he said that, I'll start calling you Peter. I'll start calling you the rock. When you start acting like the rock and responding like the rock, stop being that fleshly man yielding to the flesh, but step up and be who you should be and who you could be by God's grace. And so Simon, he went through this sifting process and he was shaken to the very inner core. Everything that he was sure of in life, it was as if the rug got jerked out from under him. And there was nothing left but his faith. Because Jesus said, Simon, Satan has desired to have you. He's going to shake things up and it's going to get bad. The flesh of you, Simon, Simon, is going to win. Simon, you're going to wake up one day. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to think there's nothing left. But your faith will remain. Your faith will remain. Now listen to me. Somebody here today, somebody tonight listening, your faith has been shaken. Life as you know it has been rattled. You never thought this would happen to you, or you'd be in this place at this time in your life. But you are, you're there, it's happened. The Simon of you has well expressed itself. But God still has on his agenda for you to be the rock, to be a Peter, whom he named Peter, who you could be and who you should be. The Bible even says this. The Bible says that when he looked on the Lord after he denied the Lord those three times, that he went away and he wept bitterly. So I imagine that he probably asked himself, how could I have done that? How could I possibly have been that? How did I ever go that far? How did I let that happen? How did the flesh so exhibit itself in my life? And he went away bitterly. And the Bible says this, in fact, the Gospel of John's very clear that what he did then was is he just quit altogether. And that he went back to fishing. And I don't have time to preach it, but if you study out the Greek text of that passage, you're going to find out that Jesus, or that Simon, sure enough, he intended on going back to the fishing business. And so he went back and he took other disciples with him. Now keep in mind that and when you walk away from the Lord, you always take others with you. It works the same way as when you're living for Jesus. When you're living for Jesus, you're drawing people to the Lord. When you're truly being a light and a candle that's set on a hill, a light that's set on a hill, You're drawing people to Him, but when you walk away from the Lord, you will take others with you. And some of you right now are watching and, well, you walked away from the Lord weeks ago or months ago. You walked away from His church. And again, I beg you and urge you that on your knees tonight, that you get on your knees and you return to the Lord. But I beg of you, when we have church again, you need to make your way back, because there's a chance you have taken somebody with you as you walked away from the Lord. Make your way back to God's house and this altar as quick as you can. But he went back to fishing, but the Lord, he told those women at the tomb on Resurrection Sunday, "I'm going to Galilee before you. Go and tell my disciples." Watch this. "Go tell my disciples." And oh, by the way, that one disciple that I called, that I give a new name to, who sometimes he didn't live up to that name, and sometimes he failed me greatly, I want you to go tell that disciple. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I go before you to Galilee, to go meet me there. And then as I close with this, we see that seaside meeting take place where Jesus fixes a meal for them on the seashore. Peter sees from the boat. He jumps in, swims to the shore. He's so excited to see the Lord. He sits down. He fellowships with the Lord. But I want you to notice this. That is the last time that he is ever referred to as Simon or Simon Peter in the Bible. Now, sometimes Simon calls himself that, because as he writes and pens the Word of God, moved by the Holy Spirit, as God gives him the word to write in 1st and 2nd Peter, he calls himself Simon because he still knows, hey, I'm a saved man, I'm born again, washed in the blood, I belong to Jesus, I long to be Spirit-filled. But even though I long to be Spirit-filled, some days I yield to the flesh. Some days I'm a mix of the flesh, and sometimes I'm a mix of the rock of who I should be and could be by God's grace. And so after that seaside meeting, that seashore meeting, the next time we see Peter, he's standing before thousands, preaching on the day of Pentecost, leading hundreds to the Lord. What I want you to know tonight is this. What I want you to know tonight is this. This is you. Your life has been shaken to the core. You've had an event happen or events happen or sometime in your yesterdays when you thought you had life planned. Life didn't turn out like you thought it was going to. The enemy, the devil, he shook you and he shook you until you were really unsure of even who you were or who you are now. But the one thing that remains is your faith. You say, "Preacher, I just don't see how that I can come out of this. Preacher, my life has been so shaken, I don't know how I'm going to overcome. Preacher, my life has been so turned upside down, I don't see how there'll ever be a mountaintop experience once again. I don't know how a sunny day could, I don't know how the sun could possibly ever shine on me again. My life, I've been shaken to the very, very core." And I get it, what you're saying, preacher, that Jesus has prayed for me, that my faith faileth not. And preacher, I just don't see this thing turning around. Well, go back to the text just for one moment. See, the Lord said this. Don't miss the last part of this. He said this, "When thou art converted," when you have turned around, "strengthen the brethren." Now, friend, listen to me. That should have encouraged Peter in his day of trouble, in his day of heartache. When his life was shaken, he should have remembered the words of the Lord. When you are converted, when this thing has turned around, when a new day has dawned. Not if a new day dawns, not if you turn around, not if you come back, not if you choose to keep following the Master, but he said, when you do, when a new day dawns in your life, when a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when that shaking has, the Lord has used it, what the devil has meant for bad, the Lord has used it to bring good into your life. When all is said and done, the Lord is saying, strengthen your brethren. And see, God's got a call of ministry on your life. He's called us all to be ministers. The most absurd thing we could ever, the most absurd thought that we could ever place in our mind is that ministers are the people who stand behind a pulpit or and are in some kind of paid position in our churches to handle the work of the ministry. That is absurd, it's improper thinking, it's wrong thinking, and it's further from the truth. In fact, if you're saved, born again, and saved by grace, washed in the blood and anointed by Christ, you are a minister of Christ. And so here's what he wants you to do with the very fact that your life has been shaken. He wants you to take your life and be a minister to others. You say, preacher, I don't even see it. What's happened to me has not been 5 years ago or 10 years ago. What's happened to me is happening to me. I'm just now in the middle of this storm. My life is being shaken. I don't know which way's up. Everything's turned upside down. In fact, I'm scratching my head. And preacher, to be quite honest, I'm just wondering if there even is a God. Because if there was a God in heaven, why would God allow these kind of things to happen to me? You need to take heart and be encouraged tonight, my brother, my sister. Because the Bible says, Jesus said this, and this is a promise. When this thing turns around, I've got a plan for you. When this thing changes, when I bring you out, then I'm going to bring you in to my marvelous plan and my destiny, my will for your life. It could be, and I close with this statement, it could be somebody watching tonight that your life has been shaken to the very core. Everything you thought was sure is not sure anymore. It could be tonight that God allowed this. He didn't cause it, because we know Satan was the originator of this sifting in Peter's life. And so if the Lord wants this to apply to you and I tonight, then we know Satan has been he is the origin and the source of this earthquake that you have experienced. But could it be that God's going to use this to propel you into His destiny for your life? Could it be that you were born and saved by grace, adopted into His family, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, called to be His? Could it be that God chose you for this very moment right now? I very well believe it could be. Have faith, my child, because when this thing turns around, God's going to launch you into His destiny. And He wants you to strengthen your brothers and your sisters in Christ with the testimony that He's given you to tell for His glory. God could come to you in the midnight hour and whisper to you some words of comfort during your trial. But more than likely, God is going to use somebody to speak to you, to turn your life around, to encourage you, to help you, to strengthen you, to give you hope, to give you promise. More than likely, God's going to use somebody, because God uses people. And God wants to use you to be a help to those around you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I know tonight that there's somebody watching who, well, their life has been shaken. Father, they had everything planned out the way they thought it should be, the way they wanted it to be. But Lord, the way things have turned out is not the way they thought. In fact, the enemy has taken their life and has shaken them to the very core. They've experienced an earthquake of sorts. They've been sifted. Everything in their life they were sure of, they're no longer sure of. And in fact, Lord, all that's really left is their faith. That's all they have left. All they really know is that they've been saved by your grace and that you're their God. Well, God, I thank you for your word tonight. Lord, that says you have prayed for us. We thank you for that. Our name has been spoken from the lips of Jesus in heaven before your very throne. We thank you for that humbling truth. And Father, we're encouraged tonight to know that when we're converted, when we are turned from this, when this is turned around, when we are delivered from this present shaking that we are in, then God, you got a plan for us. And so, God, somebody in the midst of their shaking needs to rejoice. Father, I thank you that you have a plan for my life. Father, I pray for that brother or sister who cannot see through the cloud of today to be able to see into their tomorrow. And Lord, I want to pray that you would give them faith to know that though they may have failed, though they may be uncertain, that their faith has not failed and that, God, you still have a plan for their life. And so, God, may we all not live as Simons or Simon Peters, but God, may each of us, myself included, rise to who we could be or who we should be with the name you've given us to live under. As we live under the banner of Christ, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We love each of you, and we ask that you will be ready and prayed up for Sunday morning as we gather together here at Liberty Live again. So you have a good evening. We love you. Love on one another as the Lord has commanded us to do.